to the Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Tonight we commence a series that will take 3 months in the consideration of God's everlasting plan of salvation for you and me. It began with the call of a man whose name is well known to all of us, Abraham. Who was he? Why was he called? And when you consider his story, it takes us back to about 4,000 years almost, to a time shortly after the greatest world-shaking event ever happened until then. The great global flood was not long before the time of Abraham. And we wonder, what is God's plan of salvation doing when he had already purged the whole world? That's true, isn't it? For God had seen the corruption, wickedness and violence of humanity on earth. All this is recorded for us in Genesis 6 and 7. How that the thoughts and intents and imaginations of the hearts of men was nothing but evil continually. And it grieved the heart of God when he looked down and he says, I will destroy. And that event came and went. Every single soul on planet Earth in that one great purge was washed away, drowned, except for those in the Ark of Salvation. Now began a new generation, a new world. Surely this new world will be better with all the corruption washed away. What do you think? Our dear friends, man's heart is wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So the people multiplied. And in no time there was a great global rebellion again. And that resulted in the first whiff or sample of the ecumenical movement. Today we are all very conscious of this ecumenical movement. Where did they come from? Soon after the flood. The grandson of Noah, Nimrod, got it into his mind that he's going to start a great organization of people. And so he called it Babel, which is Babylon, which will be repeated, at the end time, in the end time Babylon, which is the Roman Church. Now, what are we talking about? God called a man through whom he will fulfill his one everlasting plan of redemption for mankind. And because of that call, we are here tonight. To believe in one man, a Jew, Jesus Christ. Did you know that? We are here because of him. He came to open the way for us back to God. And this is God's one eternal plan of redemption. Thank God for it. In the process, God called a man. And it is the story of this man that we are here tonight to take you away from your home, the comfort of, would you call it comfort, of doing nothing at home, just enjoying a long weekend. How nice it is. I say, can it be better, nicer, to be in God's house to talk about an old man called Abraham? And his story, it is an intriguing story. Some 200 years ago, the Emperor of Prussia, what is Prussia? The modern Germany. The Emperor said to his chaplain, "Tell me one evidence, irrefutable, of the evidence of God." Quick as a shot came the answer from the chaplain. "The Jew is the answer to your question. You cannot explain the Jew and the story of his passage through time of now almost over 3,000 years. That story is too intriguing. And the ups and downs and twists and turns of the story of the Jews is so amazing. Nothing could have caused people to come out of one call and to trace that kind of history through over 3,000 years. The Jew." How many of you have Jewish friends? Not many. Simple reason is there are so few Jews. How many percent of the world population are Jews, do you know? 1%? 10%? 5%? Guess. 0.2%. That means if you gather any random sampling of human beings, out of 1,000 you find 2 Jews. That's why we do not have friends who are Jews. Yes, I had a teacher in medical school who was a Jew called Mr. Cohen. And Cohen means a priest, and he's a Jew. And of course, you know, Jews excel in almost anything, everything they do. In disproportionate ways, you expect if there are 0.2% of Jews and they go into a competition, they come out winning the most is 0.3% of the prizes, the awards for excellence. Do you know that when it comes to award of the Nobel Prize, the top prize in the whole world for brains, smart people, in, say, for example, in science, what percentage will be won by Jews? Can you guess? 0.2% is what we expect if it is equally distributed for population size. 22%. How come? Answer was given by the chaplain I told you in a minute ago. God. Except God caused it. It is not reasonable. You give a test and out comes the top 22% of all Jews. Why? You cannot explain it. So having said all this, we are going to spend 3 months considering the history of the Jews. A people unlike any other people. A people who gave rise to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for which we are ever grateful, indebted, that God has come to earth as a Jew in order to bear away our sins and open a way for us to go back, return to God, and back to our original intended condition of everlasting life. Amazing, isn't it? You ever tasted death? Of course, some have. In the death of a near relative, and that can be devastating. And all of us are seeking for an answer, solution. Where can I find the solution? Answer? in the Jew that God has sent, Jesus Christ, opened the way for us to solve life's greatest problem of death. So with that as an introduction, are you ready to turn your Bibles to Genesis? We go back to the first book of the Bible. And I promise you, keep coming and bring a friend. This series will be more than interesting, intriguing, captivating, instructive, blessed. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to this man called Abram. Abram means very honorable father. But that was not going to be the name that he will carry with him all his life, because shortly God is going to tell him, look, I give you a better name. Father of a multitude, which he was going to be. How many Jews are there today in planet Earth? How many? 15 million, more or less. In spite of Hitler's burning away 6 billion, there are still 15 million today. Now the Lord said to Abram, the exalted father, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land I will show thee. Here, the spirit and the sense of this order from God is this. You want to follow me? I want you to follow me. But that following has got to be a clean cut. All your past must be severed. And this applies to all of us. Jesus says, if you do not hate father, mother, brother, sister, wife, husband, and children, and give up all to follow me, you cannot follow me. My terms are very simple. Here it says, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, and follow me. That is the way we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus with half-hearted kind of allegiance. Jesus says, you are not worthy of it. You cannot follow Jesus and follow the world. You cannot do it. Because simply, the world is not friends with Jesus. The world is under the control and dominion of Satan, arch enemy of Jesus, of God. How can you be a friend of the world? So, James says, he who will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Don't. Those of you who keep thinking and imagining great things of the world and being attracted to the things of the world, I say, please. The Lord says, you do that, you're not worthy of me. You cannot follow me. So to Abraham, God said, Abraham, follow me with your whole heart. So must we. This is the first lesson we are going to revise tonight. As we go on in this study of Abraham, there are so many wonderful lessons. Let our following of Jesus be wholehearted, totally committed, only Jesus. And not half the time Jesus, half the time my own ideas and my own idols. So many people have idols hidden away. Their hobbies, their investments, their private sins, respectable sins, all kinds of evil things. And they say, my time half for that and half for Jesus. And Jesus says, no way. You follow me, follow me. Abraham, give up. Father, mother, your kindred, your country, your associations, all those things cut off. Now, uproot yourself. Follow me. to a land I will show thee. Amazing. Will any one of you emigrate from Singapore? Because some travel agent came to me and said, come, I show you a better place. But you sell your house, pluck up everything, and where do I go? You say, where do I go? Never mind, I will show you when you get there. Will you go? This is the condition. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, follow me. Now that meeting must be very unusual. Meeting with God, with the Lord Jesus, you know that. Who met with Abraham? Who? Jesus. In John's Gospel chapter 8, the Jews were bragging all the time, our father Abraham, this and that and the other. Jesus said, shut up. You talk of Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. I was there. Now go on you. You're not even 50 years old. And Abraham was 3,000 years ago. What are you talking about? Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. I am the creator of Abraham. So here we are. We must get our perspective correct. God met with Abraham in the person of Jesus Christ, coming in a pre-incarnate humanity, in a human form. But however he appeared, we do not know. It's not described to us. But it must have been very impressive. It struck Abraham, here is somebody very strange, very wonderful, very special. And he says, do this, do this. I'm totally sold on the idea. He convinces me, I will go. Because his appearance is different. His tone is different. His intention is so wonderful. I cannot resist him. I cannot say no to him. That must be the way we receive Jesus, you know. Yes, he is different. He promises you, and you are convinced in the heart, this is the truth. So, continue verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, says God. I will bless thee. Wow. To be blessed by this man must be something so wonderful. Do you know that? Most of us come to Jesus and say, well, okay, Lord, you want to baptize me and to call me to follow you? I don't mind, you know. As though you were doing God a favor. Please understand, God is so wonderful. Condescending to our level to talk to us and to make us this wonderful offer. I will bless you. Huh? Amazing. Make your name great. Is your name great? Anyone here whose name is great? When you follow Jesus, you're called a Christian. That name is great. Please, value and treasure your name. As a follower of Jesus Christ, and you will be a blessing. Those who get to know you, understand every one of us here who is a Christian, be a blessing, because this is a promise. God wants us to be a blessing. How can I be a blessing? Tell them of the love of Jesus. How many of us never dare to tell? Never. So shy, lah. How can I let them know? What is there to say? Dear friends, you don't know the Lord Jesus well. So you will be a blessing. Well, of course, Abraham didn't know all the intricacies of this call. But, you know, the Word of God says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, nothing else. What is to believe? Can you tell me? What is to believe? Believe is to do what it tells me to do. If you say, it's okay, God. What you tell me is very interesting and very attractive. I accept it. And then you do nothing and continue to live in the Ur of Chaldees, which is the modern Iraq. That is not faith. That is ridiculing the one who called you. You playing tricks with him, playing games. Oh, dear friends, do not play games with God. You will be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. Curse him that curseth you. In you, in thee, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amazing. How can it be that I can be a blessing? I've told you just now how the Jews excel in every way, in good things. It's not that if you take all the criminals and the top 22% are all Jews. No. Of course, some are great crooks. No. Lehman Brothers, Jew. How many in Singapore have been swindled by them? Not $1 or $2, but hundreds of thousands of dollars. Lehman Brothers are Jew. But know this, it's the managers, the people who manipulate. But the original Lehman Brothers did a good work. So all these great people on earth, you know who invented the defibrillator? When you get a heart attack and they revive you with an electric shock and you come back to life, otherwise you are dead. Who invented it? The Jew. And the pacemaker, so many people walk around because they carry a little gadget inside that keeps the heart pumping regularly. Otherwise it goes like a mad horse, pumping away, running away, and you'll be dead in no time. Pacemaker. So many other inventions, you understand, in the computer world. Microsoft. Who doesn't understand Microsoft? Jew. Google. Everybody's talking Google. Another Jew. So many, you name it, it is a Jew. Everyone is a Jew. All the top inventors, all the top. You eat ice cream? We have mentioned just now about ice cream. Häagen-Dazs, Jew. Do you know that? I didn't know. Until my research say, hey, ice cream by Häagen-Dazs. Starbucks coffee, Jew. Amazing. Okay, here it is, and it says here, you will be a blessing. Of course. He blesses you with first-class coffee, with reliable, pure ice cream. Not bad. All Jews. So Abraham departed as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot went with him. Right? So far is the call of Abraham. Amazing call, isn't it? Now that call didn't stop there, but there's a long history by now, about 3,000 years, the story of the Jews. In all this we see the unmistakable hand of God guiding, protecting. No other nation of people have undergone systematic extermination and persecution as the Jews. So much so that the only people in the whole world that has a name attached to this kind of hatred of a people, only the Jews. You know what it is called? Anti-Semitism. Is there any other term to denote people who are anti-Japanese or anti-Chinese? There is no such thing. No other person or race of people. Only the Jews. Anti-Semitism. So from Bible times, the Jews were defeated and carried away captives to Babylon. And that's where the story of Daniel and his friends came. What happened? They're carried away to be destroyed. And the story of Esther, remember the story of Esther? There was a man called Haman, happened to be a high minister of state for the emperor. And he hated the Jews, hated them like poison. And he conceived of a plan that throughout the whole regime of Persia, one day, they will exterminate all Jews. And he convinced and persuaded the emperor to sign an edict. On this day, all Jews in the regime, in the country, will be killed in one day. Until what happened? Esther the queen rose up. Because her uncle Mordecai said to her, "Esther, you know this. There's a plot going to kill all Jews. Amazing. And you are the queen. Surely if you talk to the king, it can be reversed. If you don't, God will send help from some other quarter. You can. Why don't you do it?" Of course she did it. And in the process, she conceived a plan. "Oh king, my husband, I'm telling you a secret I kept till now. I am a Jew. And you say you're going to kill all the Jews. You kill me? Of course not." Then she says, "I make a dinner, a banquet. And I invite this Haman who is going to kill all the Jews too." The king couldn't believe it. "This man you're inviting is the one who is going to kill you and all the Jews. So let's put him to the gallows." Now you don't know the story. Haman had erected a gallows for Mordecai, because he was a Jew, in the court, to hang this fellow because he hated this fellow. Now the king says, "Ha, that's a gallows, isn't it? On Haman," and then his sons all hanged up there. Amazing. Pogrom is a word that applies mostly to Jews. In organized killing sessions throughout Russia, unknown hundreds and thousands of Jews were killed away that way. Is there any other people on earth that went through this kind of massacre? Maybe the Chinese under the Japanese, you know, the rape of Nanking? Yes. Thousands were slaughtered and killed and raped. But there's one case only, once. For the Jews, it is repeated through the ages, again and again and again, until the worst was Hitler. Hitler got into his head that we human beings are not created in God's image. Nobody created us. We just came from molecules, particles. Some millions or billions of years ago, according to what Darwin says, we all came from the scum of the primeval pond. And we became human beings. We became beings. And so are the Jews. They're just particles become men. So disposable, dispensable. We don't like them. Let's dispose of them. 6 million went to the gas chambers. 6 million. Can you imagine? All the population of Singapore plus another million thrown in and all burned together. Did they destroy the Jews? So that's why I entitled one of the messages, "The Indestructible People." All this because Satan is behind all these plots and pogroms. Satan, why Satan? Because out of the Jew comes the only one who can overcome Satan, Jesus Christ, a Jew. And therefore Satan hates the Jews for bringing forth Jesus. And therefore all the persecution of the Jews through all these centuries. So we are going to study all these as we go along. And yet, God's call is so wonderful. Do you therefore believe His promises? That in the Jews, mankind will be blessed. I've mentioned those things that were invented by the Jews. You know the Polaroid camera? The instant you snap and out comes a picture. That was before the present. Of course, the present instant digitals by computer method is amazing. But before that, Polaroid, I lived through my years of practice in medicine. When you do an operation, and patients always say, show me the specimen. So we click, and in 5 minutes, they can see a picture of what we click. Polaroid, invented by Jew, for the benefit of all mankind. So and so on and so forth. You know, when they walk into Marks and Spencer's, that is founded by a Jew, Marks and Spencer's is now in Orchard Road. In America, Macy and Sears, and a great number of the great departmental stores, all the great companies, founded by Jews. In publishing, you name the biggest and best known, New York Times, Washington Post, Reuters, Simon & Schuster, I never knew. But when this research came out, amazing, all these are Jews. And what for? To bless us with the best journalism on earth. Reuters, you know that? Jew. And in the finance, Rothschild, number one Jew. And he started this Rothschild's empire. They financed the First and Second World Wars in Europe. Fed the Germans with money, fed the British with money. You want the money to make wars? Rothschild will do it. Goldman Sachs. And back to computers. Dell. I never knew it was by the Jew. But that's... The computers don't last, somehow. So in all these blessings that comes to the Jews, big question mark you ask, how come the Jews? Is it fluke by chance? Or is it God? What do you think? Make up your mind. Oh dear friends, the chaplain got it right. When the emperor asked him, tell me one evidence of God, he says, very easy. Your Majesty, the Jew, is the evidence of God. Without God, there would be no Jew who is preserved through all these 3,000 years, through all the persecution, pogroms, organized killings, gas chambers. Dear friends, we follow our Savior, a Jew. He, for the sake of bringing many sons into glory, you and I, were in darkness, despair, and destruction, hopeless, sinners, hated by God, and destined and due for destruction, God came and saved us. And that is the greatest evidence of the love of God through this line of Abraham, through a Jew. So may God help us. As you come to the future sessions, that we may all be instructed God in His almighty wisdom and unsearchable love and grace to us sinners, undeserving sinners, not that we have anything to boast about, but we're God haters. Sinners who rebel against God, and God came and said, "My son will take away all your offenses. Come to Him." I say the same tonight to anyone here who has come to Sunset out of curiosity, but never make up your mind, never receive the Lord Jesus. I say, make it your choice tonight. God gives us a choice. God never forces, never deceives, never makes you obligated to become a Christian. It's a free choice. May you hear this gospel message tonight and say, "Lord, I want to be a child of yours. I want to be blessed by this Jew, Jesus Christ, that through him I may receive the gift of God of life everlasting, sins forgiven, a place in the heavenly kingdom. For in Jesus the blessing is promised, only Jesus. By no other vehicle, no other means can you be saved, least of all by yourself." People say, "I'm a free thinker. I think good. I think through. I know all the problems. I will solve my problem." You will not solve. You only get worse. Come to Jesus. Make Him your choice. He is God's one way of salvation. He is God's only Son. Come for your sake and for my sake. On the cross He took away all your burden and the debt you owe. And He paid the price to buy you back to God. That is salvation. That is through a Jew. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may we hear the call of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "If any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow all the way." Lord, we thank thee that we in him we have this wonderful, amazing promise of life everlasting, and that no one will leave this hall tonight without receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. And having followed him and received him, let us help us that we will go and tell others and turn them also to the Savior. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we close.